Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Network, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand insights, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from the San Francisco Bay Area and Indianapolis, Indiana, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain. Now, here are your hosts, Dan, the produce man, and Ross, the produce boss.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Valentine's weekend Friday. Dan, the produce man, here in the San Francisco Bay, along with
Ross, the produce boss, coming in from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful weekend, folks. Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Network and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions and Sunrays. Snack with impact. All right, Ross. Okay, men out there. Well, women too, but men, you know, this is a big weekend for you.
This is. And, love is in the air, man. We're going to be talking all about Valentine's Day today on our little Valentine's episode. So if you're listening to us on Friday, Valentine's Day, we appreciate it. If you're catching us after the fact, hopefully you'll get some tips and tricks about Valentine's Day.
All right, tips and tricks. We're ready to roll. But Ross, you have a brand new Apple, and I've been excited.
Actually, I switched it to this today, Dan. We'll do the Apple next week. I found this Sumo citrus juice, and it's 100% Mandarin juice. So I'm expecting that to be 100% Sumo. So
okay, so now here we go, Ross. That is a place for the Sumos that don't fit the shape and the form of the citrus. Now they can go to juice.
Yeah, little sticker on it. Discover the joy of Sumo citrus. I mean, it's got the branding and everything all on it. So let's give it a whirl here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like drinking a Sumo. a lot of vitamin C in that. So, I mean, that's
okay, bartenders, get ready, man. You start coming up with some new drinks.
16 milligrams, 70% of the daily allowance. So, hey, with cold and flu season here, man, a cup of this a day will probably help you out.
Cup of Sumo juice a day will help keep the cold away. That's pretty cool, Ross. Look at this. You're going to say, Dan, that's a Sumo. Well, it is.
That's a Sumo. Really.
That's a Sumo. This is called a Snow Mandarin by Family Tree Farms. It's the same thing. It's a Decapon. But I just, because of the label,
a little bigger than that one,
I grabbed it today.
It's a little bigger. It came out of a bag.
Yeah, well, the bag ones are going to be small. And those are perfect, you know, especially for the kids at school. I thought you were going to do apples today. I thought I'd show you the size of this Cosmic Crisp apple.
Jeez, that's huge.
My buddy Chewy gave to me today. I mean, it's not. Well, anyway, we'll get an apple. We'll do your apple next week. One real quick one, too. The Tahoe Gold, which is a great mandarin derived from dance. It's a TDE variety mandarin. Well, so there's some stuff.
The other citrus that I look forward to is the gold nuggets. So those are started, too.
Gold nuggets. You know what I like about those? I love the skin on those. It's so oily and just the aroma, and it gets on your fingers and it just smells in the air. It's absolutely beautiful, Tahoe Gold. And it's a great weekend for chocolate dipped strawberries. Stemberries sell quite a bit this time of the year, so retailers are buying those. Some of them are dipping themselves. Some of them have little processors that they have, dip them for them. And it's a big deal.
We have a tradition for the Super Bowl at my house where we do chocolate fondue, and strawberries are always essential to chocolate fondue. I'm dipping those in there, as well as bananas, had apple, marshmallows, and butter cake.
Man, oh man, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I've tried to adapt, but my kids, each year they're like, "Dad, you doing the chocolate fondue?" Yeah, I'm doing the chocolate fondue, so it's become tradition. So I can't let them down now.
Oh, no. Hey, man, tradition's great, especially in families. It's wonderful. It creates beautiful memories, and then you get to see it go on, you know, when you begin to have grandkids, too, and they start growing up. So it's really a cool thing. You know, one thing I always wondered about, Ross, with chocolate-dipped strawberries, though, in the stores is this time of the year, a lot of strawberries have so much white shoulder because of the cold. And they dip them in the chocolate. Then you see this white at the end. It's pretty funny. So look for red berries if you're going to be dipping them.
Well, it depends on the region they're coming from. So, I mean, three regions are producing. So just got to find out. I've seen, at least here in the Midwest, I've seen a lot of Florida and Mexican berries. So it's kind of a combination.
Yeah, I saw beautiful California berries this morning, too, at my buddy's store. So good.
But hey, speaking of our guest, I got this off of his website. Check this out. Boom.
Love.
Love is in the air today on our episode. So
I saw some black roses in there, though, as well. I wonder what the symbolism for... We'll have to ask him what black roses mean. Absolutely. And why don't you introduce our guest, Ross, because you brought him aboard.
Well,
and
we wanted to get someone on here to talk about floral, as Valentine's Day is one of the biggest floral days of the year, and we've got David Kaplan. Welcome, David, to the show. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I've seen some pictures of you. This one here kind of stands out. tell us a little bit about the wizard here.
So that was great.
A long time ago, somebody tried to figure out what I exactly do, and they needed a name for me, and a lot of it was helping people with placement of product and procurement of product and sourcing of product. So the combination of sorcery and the wizard technology, I became labeled as the flower wizard. So lots of my emails that I get from clients start and say, I know you're the wizard, I need some help. And, you know, or can you, you know, hello, flower wizard, can you help me? And
help me, Mr. Wizard. Remember that cartoon?
it's kind of stuck. And my son's an artist, mostly an animator, but he does do some other stuff as well. And he that all wasn't my all my beard, and it wasn't all my hair, but he kind of put it together and tried not to make me look too much like Harry Potter.
I think it's really cool myself. That's great.
Yeah. Definitely makes you stand out for sure. So,
yeah, it's a kind of a I haven't patented it yet or trademarked it, but maybe I should.
You better now because it's out there.
The only other wizard that I know of is Jungle Jim from Fairfield, Ohio. He just dresses up in a wizard costume. You know, he has a whole outfit. But hey, we appreciate you being with us, and you know, we're kind of talking about Valentine's Day and you know, the symbolism of flowers on Valentine's Day. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, where that began, and you know, what is the symbolism of why we give flowers on Valentine's Day?
So cut flowers in general have been used as symbols of love and affection for centuries. Certain flowers have different meanings. Even certain varieties of roses, different colors of roses, certain things mean different things, making them a very powerful form of communication and love. Red roses are often associated with love and passion, making them a very popular choice for Valentine's Day giving. You know, roses are an iconic item for Valentine's Day because it started back with mythology. Particularly linked to the Greek goddess Aphrodite, and in Roman mythology, it was Venus, who is often depicted with roses. So it solidified that the flower is a symbol of deep affection and passion, especially when they were red, making it a natural choice for expressing romantic feelings for Valentine's Day. Other colors recently have had a very large uptick in demand for varieties for Valentine's Day, as well as for year round. Most people used to think, you know, the old expression, roses are red, violets are blue. Red rose demand has not fallen off the face of the earth, but has been dropping more and more the rest of the year in colors because there's so many varieties of roses. You know, some people as distributors or growers, they grow more than 100 varieties of roses. So they have a huge difference of, you know, shades of bicolors and hot pinks and light pinks, purples, lavenders, many different shades of yellows and oranges and earth tones. There's even brown roses and coffee-colored roses and sand
black roses. I saw black roses in your love picture there. What's the black rose symbolize?
So most black roses are not really black. There's something that's been processed to look black. However, there is a couple varieties that are black. Are reddish black, and one of them is called Black Baccara. It's been around for a long time. And you know, they're mostly popular on Halloween or different things. It's not really a quite an item you would give to somebody for Valentine's Day. And a lot of black roses are associated with Halloween or I hate you bouquets.
You mix a bunch of roses colors together in a bouquet, red and yellow, and I love those orangish peach colored ones with the different colored tips and the whole bit. Is that some sort of symbol, or is that just saying, I love everything about you? You're my friend, you're my lover, you're my whatever else. It symbolizes things when, like you said, they're symbols of certain things. So when you give them different colors of roses, so say a gal really likes you and you give her some yellow roses, she's going to kind of be disappointed in a way.
It's funny that you say that, because yellow is very popular for Valentine's Day, and also, even garden roses now, which are grown in greenhouses, which have much better shelf life, have become quite popular as well. And there is one that's kind of a cross between a garden rose and a regular rose, and it's called Hearts. And Hearts is the shape of a Valentine's Day. And if you look up the rose, it's a heart-shaped rose. You know, we've seen some pizza places making heart-shaped pizzas, but I don't think the girlfriend or the wife will be as happy with a pizza as she would with a dozen of heart-shaped roses.
Probably not.
There's also a lot of colors now that have become, they call them a sport, which is when you accidentally get a freak of nature in the greenhouse. And, we had one that was called Hocus Pocus, which turned out to be a red and yellow variegated rose, which was not what his intention was. It originally was just a pure yellow rose, and it turned into a red and yellow because it must have had some kind of genetics that, you know, in the greenhouse, it caused them to multiply in a different color. And
is that where you get the yellow rose of Texas?
I don't think so. The yellow rose of Texas may be a urban myth as well. They won't say that, but
it's a great song.
it is definitely. We see these heart shaped roses now coming in other colors as well. And there's a lot of types of roses and a lot of sizes of roses. Not everything has to be large either. We sell a lot of intermediate roses, and they're very good for people who want to give more flowers. And as a matter of fact, instead of bunching those in dozens, we bunch them in 16s or 20s.
Yeah.
And when the husband comes home or the boyfriend comes home and he's got a 16 stem instead of 12, sometimes it's more impressive, and the price points are better. They also take up less carbon footprint per rose because there's more in a box. And this weekend I had a phone call from the New York Times about carbon footprints of tulips, as a matter of fact, trying to get people to convince their local florist or their local distributor or bodega, whoever they buy flowers mass market, to get something that's grown in North America, so it has a less of a carbon footprint. The way the duties are going, they better act fast if they want the Canadian ones, because I would think that there's a lot of Canadian tulips coming across the border right now. And
hey, David, we used to drive down Highway 17 or A80 is what it's called now here in the San Francisco Bay Area to the South Bay, and big drive-in theater there with screens, and growing all around them for acres and acres and acres was tulips, and a big sign that said, "We love flowers." Now, are most commercial flowers that go to the florists and go to the supermarkets, are those grown inside greenhouses, or are they grown outside, or is there a combination of both?
I would say that the majority of commercial quality flower, good quality flowers are grown inside greenhouses. There are certain field crops, like, for example, wax flower, which is a very nice filler. baby's breath, or gypsophilia as it's known, can be outdoors. They cut it very tight and then they bring it into opening areas so they don't have to have a structure. Some things are grown under cheesecloth or black cloth. That's often hydrangeas or greens. They don't need necessarily the plastic for the luminosity. But roses are very sensitive to luminosity. You know, when you go to the greenhouses, sometimes you'll see a net on the rose itself. And it's almost like sunglasses for the rose, so they don't get overburned and get black edges, especially in reds. And it's like a, you know, you've seen those orange bags that they have, that netted orange bag and stuff, and sometimes the oranges inside are wrapped in these sleeves.
Yeah.
Or certain citrus is done that way. Well, each head of roses, and when it's developing and getting fatter at the base of the rose, they'll take the net off. And then they'd be ready for harvest in a few days. You know, different varieties of roses take different times for harvest. And, you know, greenhouses are, majority of all roses are produced in greenhouses. And roses are really the granddaddy of the industry and the grandma of the industry. You know, you really don't see, I would say that there's no holiday like Valentine's that's so centric around one flower. Mother's Day, everything sells. You know, Valentine's Day, you know, if you bring a bunch of daisies home,
you're probably, you may be sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, or you may get whacked. You may get whacked in the face with them. And
eat the daisies. Oh wow!
Valentine's Day. There's a guy in, I think he's in not too far from where you are, Dan, that does a lot of statistics and, you know, what percentage of red roses are sold. And there's also one from the Texas A&M, which is a consultant slash professor who does all kinds of economic statistics and floral statistics for Society of American Florists. What percentage of red roses are sold versus colors? What percentage of roses are sold versus all other flowers? And the last time, I think it was over 60% of roses make up every flower sale. You know, so it really, you know, usurps, you know, plant sales and, you know, whereas Mother's Day, you're selling lots of plants, you're selling lots of bedding plants for people to plant in your garden, you're selling hanging plants, you're selling every type of cut flower that exists, you know, more color are sold. You know, Valentine's Day is very, very heavy to rose sales.
Now, besides red, like what are the other top color sellers for Valentine's Day?
Pink, hot pink. Yellow, lavenders, a lot of softer pastel-y type of colors. You know, orange is not the greatest color for Valentine's Day, yet there's still sales for orange. You know, and then, you know, we always run into the, you know, the situation is somebody does not want what they call a dog mix. You know, they don't want all the colors that don't sell. they want the colors that do sell. And, you know, it's hard to control that, you know, because a certain percentage of your crop has got, you know, rose bushes last 10 plus years. And you want to make sure that, you know, you're moving all your colors during a holiday like Valentine's Day, because otherwise, you know, it's not so great for the farm. You know,
don't stall, sell them all, right? And roses to the floral department are like bananas to the produce department. Folks, David Kaplan is our guest here on Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely Valentine weekend. We're going to take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and be right back with more flower power. And because we're going to be off to see the wizard.
Everyone, we have an APP out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
I love grapes. Whoa, what's this? Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, sun rays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed, so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunray's grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
All right, folks, it's always great to hear from those wonderful sponsors, and we're talking all things Valentine's Day floral with David Kaplan, the wizard, and we're just learning about floral Valentine's Day. It's a special weekend. Show your loved one that you care with some flowers.
Absolutely. Mr. Wizard, one of the things that really caught me was personality-based selections on choosing your flowers based on a person's personality. So can you get into a little bit of that for us, please?
That's today, you know, a lot of people have color selections that are very important. We hear from florists and also mass markets that when a man goes in there, the first thing he levitates to is the red roses. When a woman buys flowers on Valentine's Day, they always levitate towards the colored roses. You know, so it turns out that women probably like colors better than red because, you know, red is more common, and they see a color and there's so many choices in colors that they go towards the color. You know, but there's also things, you know, we call it, you know, there's engraved flowers now.
Engraved flowers? What, with a laser engraver? I mean,
well, it does have some sort of thing. It's they call it speaking roses. And
wow. Sounds like an acid trip. Okay. When
the Ukrainian war started with Russia, we actually had a yellow rose that had a blue top, looked like the Ukrainian flag with a peace symbol on it. And it was sold for donations to help, you know, the Ukrainians out at the time. And a lot of times that can be done personalized for Valentine's Day. Sometimes if Coca-Cola or Pepsi were to have a convention, they may have Coca-Cola written on the rose. And they hand it out to all the women who come to the convention, maybe on the table, maybe part of a centerpiece. So there is a lot of the personalized possibilities. There's also ribbons that can be written upon. You know, you've seen that at probably both funerals and happier times. You know, there's luxury packaging. Sometimes roses are in a hat basket. Sometimes they're even preserved. Some people want to have the rose last a longer time. So it's a relatively recent thing, maybe early 2000s, that people discovered ways to make roses last more than a year. And they look very realistic. And they're
more than roses. A year in the vase or in the ground? I mean, what do you
know? They're processed. They're fresh flowers that are taken to a process procedure. And they, if you look at them, sometimes you can't tell what they are. You know, you can't tell that they're not real. And they are real roses. It's just that they're not going to die in a week or two.
I've even seen them where they're like inside a globe, you know, where inside a globe.
That used to be called Bowl of Beauty. There's a Mexican project that's going on now is also that they put roses inside a container, a glass container. And sometimes they have a cylinder and they have a special scent to them. And if you take the plastic top off the glass cylinder, that scent will last about 6 months. So you can smell cinnamon, you can smell whatever you want to smell. And if I was in my other office, I had some samples of those, but they can do them in blacks and blues, and they can make them the American flag. We've seen them where they got those little stars on them for the American flag, and red, white, and blue for 4th of July. And, you know, there's a lot of processing. A good friend of mine does psychedelic roses. And, you know, he takes a fresh rose, and he can actually, this doesn't last forever. This lasts only, you know, the length of a rose. But he can put, you know, six or eight colors in them. He can make them look like a rainbow. He can do almost anything with them. He can, you know, different colored heads and different colors. You know, half the rose can be one color, the other half can be another. The center can be green, and the, you know, it's just amazing what they've done with technology with that stuff. It's pretty good.
Getting back to the personality though, you about people choosing flowers for their specific person that they want to give them to. I mean, you had something in here where choose flowers that match the recipient's energy, color preference, or symbolic meaning. So a high energy person would get, I guess, red, and lilies would go to somebody who's a little more conservative in their personality. But
absolutely. Roses are passion, love, admiration. Sunflowers, believe it or not, even though it's not the colors you would think of for Valentine's Day, certain people want sunflowers because they signify smiles, happiness, joy, optimism. Tulips, red tulips are very popular for the holiday, signifying cheerfulness, new beginnings, spring. You know, people think of a tulip or a certain bulb flowers as springtime is coming. Lilies, you said purity, elegance, refinement. Iris is a signification of wisdom, respect, creativity.
Oh, nice.
Peonies, they're not a lot around for Valentine's Day because they're only forced in this time of year coming from Israel. You know, peonies are basically, there's been some white papers written on how to grow peonies out of season. Because tulips you can get pretty much year-round these days. But peonies, you know, there's maybe 6 months of the year that it's hard to find a peony. Any other 6 months, you have a lot of domestic peonies, a lot of Italian, French, Dutch. Even from Northern Africa, they grow peonies. They grow peonies in New Zealand. So, you know, peonies, depending on whether you're north or south of the equator, that can make a difference.
I wanted to get into, you know, like, since obviously roses are so popular, what are some of the care tips that people can do to try to make sure that their flowers that they receive from their loved one last?
So care tips are very important. You know, a lot of people, I probably didn't mention this in my notes that I sent you guys. There's something called Arrive Alive. And, you know, since, you know, we might as well address the issue because, it's not an issue. It's out there. And I know you asked some questions about, you know, how most flowers are handled and delivered. And, you know, right now, there's a lot of e-commerce that goes on. You have some big e-commerce companies like Farm Girl. I'm sure you've heard of Farm Girl Flowers. She did a TV commercial for a credit card. And she does a burlap packaging. And, you know, there's also somebody called Books Company, which is very big. And a lot of people, you know, especially younger generations, like to go online and not go to the physical mass market or retail flower shop. And they like to just do it online and send it. They use what they call a diaper almost. And not everyone, but most of them do. And they wrap the bottom of the stems in this very, it's produced by Chrysal, who also produces preservative. And it's a wraparound spongy wet thing. And it keeps the flowers from dehydrating. And that's one way of delivering it to you the next day in better condition.
What about at home, though? People at home, like your sweetheart puts it in a vase and she wants it to last a little bit longer. I know there's that little packet of stuff. Some people say throw an aspirin in there. What is the best method at home?
Well, one thing, you know, without too much of a headache is, you know, to change the water, you know, because a lot of times you'll have a filler in there. And sometimes the filler doesn't last as long as the roses, even though people would think it would last every bit as long. And also some of the fillers do have as they get a little bit warmer or as they get a little more ripened, they have a smell to them. So changing the water doesn't change the water color, keeps it nice and clean. Otherwise, your color of the water might get a little bit, especially in a clear vase, you might start seeing a yellowing to it.
And how often should we change the water?
I would say, you know, most people won't do this, but saying every day is impossible, but every other day or every third day. You can kind
every
of
tell, other day.
You can tell if the water starts smelling and it starts changing color and it gets cloudy. You know, it's almost like your fish tank. When do you clean your fish tank? You know, and trimming the stems a little bit every once in a while doesn't hurt either with a big sharp clipper. You don't want to do them. You want to cut them at an angle and you don't want to hammer them. You want to make sure they're going to receive the water. So if you cut the vascular system of the roses, the water won't go to the calyx of the head. And that's very important. Don't put them on top of a radiator. You know, a lot of people make the mistake of putting them near the window at a hospital. And then they look like they're dead in 2 days or 3 days. And that's because they're, you know, the window is the warmest place in the hospital because hospitals tend to keep everything warm, as well as you're getting a lot of sunlight on the flowers, which makes them even warmer. The other part of it is lots of flowers, people forget to, you know, the florist should do this, and a good experienced florist will do it. And also supermarkets in their SOPs demand a certain amount of foliage being peeled when they receive the product. If you leave foliage all the way down to the bottom of the stem, the foliage is going to suck the water up.
Through the foliage,
So it's important to trim the foliage or remove foliage because if you have too much foliage, it's gonna detract from how much water is actually going to the right place. And then the other thing is, you know, keep it looking good. Some flowers are gonna last longer than others, so you want to if it's a bouquet and it has roses in there or it has other things in it, you want to get rid of the flowers that are starting to wilt or starting to look tired. And this is important. You guys are fruit lovers, and I don't want to hurt your parade. But, you know, ripening fruit, certain fruits do produce, especially citrus, produce ethylene.
Don't put it near your fruit bowl.
Don't put it near a fruit bowl. Now, some flowers are very, you know, non-susceptible to fruit, and others are much more susceptible. Carnations are an ethylene-sensitive item. Rose is not as ethylene sensitive as you would think. You know, and then there's also the problem with putting daffodils together with other flowers. Daffodils emit a little bit of a gel on the bottom of them, and that causes damage to other flowers.
That's good tips. I used to have a florist that would come into my store and buy small little lady apples from me to put into her bouquets. Okay, so it's a challenging weekend for florists. The demand is high. There's supply chain issues. You want to be patient with your florist. So how about some tips on that? Gentlemen who are buying flowers, and I'm a traditional guy, so I'm just going to say gentlemen. I'm not going to get in all that other stuff just for the sake of time.
anybody buying flowers.
Yeah, anybody buying flowers for whoever. Be patient with the florist. They're under high demand. They may not have all the labor that they wish they had. I go to an independent florist. I do not buy at the supermarket. I have a wonderful florist here in town who I like to support. A little more expensive, but the quality is a lot better. So how about some tips on that, supporting your local florists?
Well, order early, of course. I think that's very important. Some florists have standing orders from the same people for decades because they know they're going to get that order every year, and they know how to calculate what to order themselves. That's the most challenging thing, is ordering what they need. And, you know, sometimes it can be challenging because, you know, pricing on Valentine's Day isn't always the what people think. They think that a rose is a rose, the same pricing all year round. It's not that way. The farms take a big gamble by pinching. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the word pinching flowers or not, but it's basically a timing thing. And what they do is sometime in November, usually, it takes about 70 days to get a return crop on a flower. So what they'll do is they'll pinch a rose, so when it comes in time for shipping, it's going to hit the peak of the market. I'm not sure on the West Coast, but I probably know in Indianapolis area where you are, you probably had some strange weather this year compared to the past years. I'm in New England, and I'm looking at the first major snowstorm we have had in 4 years. We kind of used to have a lot of snowstorms where a foot wasn't unusual, but we kind of moved into a new climate zone, whether it's because of global warming or whatever. I'm not going to get into that, but whatever it may be, you know, it's just been different. And it's been the same problem for people growing flowers. Most of the roses are grown on the equatorial line. If you look at Ecuador, Colombia, Kenya, Ethiopia, they're pretty much on the same latitude. And the jet stream this year, when you saw that Louisiana had a foot of snow in New Orleans this year, or wherever it was, somewhere down there, that was like a once in 120-something year event. It was also cold in Florida. You know, the greens people who make the rose arrangements look so beautiful, they were 18 degrees. Doesn't help the greens growing when they're below freezing. Time to get out the hoses, and they start pumping diesel to spray the crop so it freezes over it, and doesn't help quality, doesn't help availability. So it's very important to pre-order from a local florist. It's also, you know, tell them what you want and they'll try to accommodate you. That's one thing why a local florist exists today. You know, there has been a tremendous drop off of the mama papa type of retailer, but the ones that exist are they're existing because there's a reason for it, because it's like you just said about your local florist, because they do a good job and they don't try to give you old flowers. They don't try to beat the system. Sometimes you'll have somebody tries to beat the system that buys in January and pickles the flowers until the holiday comes along. And then they know they're probably going to get X amount of complaints, and then they'll give you a credit when their flowers are one third the price, and say, "Okay, I'm going to give you another dozen the 20th of February." Well, you know, they're making out on that deal. Usually, they don't get, you know. Sometimes people are afraid to complain. It's like a bad meal at a fancy restaurant. A lot of times, you don't like to complain to the maitre d' or to the waitress waiter, and you get something that doesn't taste great. But
just like we have the wholesale produce market, we have the wholesale flower market in San Francisco, and you can go early in the morning, and all the local florists go there and they buy different flowers from different vendors inside the flower market, the wholesale flower market.
And you have a beautiful new market, by the way, in San Francisco.
New market meaning? What do you mean?
Meaning they tore down the old one and they rebuilt a new one now.
Oh, well, that's a process. That's a 30-year process. They didn't actually, well, when you say they tore down the old, I mean, that you're going back to the 60s when they did that. But the produce market in San Francisco, there's three of them here in the Bay Area.
I'm talking about the flower market in San Francisco.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And the whole idea was to merge the produce market and the flower market together in one location, and that didn't happen. So you're right. They rebuilt the flower market, and so I don't think that connection is going to occur. But, you know, hey, David, it's been great having you. We could go on forever and ever about flowers. I mean, you're very knowledgeable. No wonder they call you the wizard. The flower wizard.
I don't know if it's knowledge or just flowers.
Old. What's that?
I'm not sure if it's knowledge or just old.
Hey, well, they come together, my friend. Believe me, they come together. And, you know, too soon old, too late smart is what one of the sayings I used to hear quite a bit, but at least in my case, that is. Anyway, it's been a real pleasure having you today on Fresh from the Field Fridays. Appreciate it, and we'll have to have you back again sometime.
Anytime you need, I'll be here, and it's a pleasure being asked by you guys to be here. It's an honor.
So thank you, David.
You heard it. Happy Valentine's Day. Take care of your significant other, and get those flowers, and support your local florist. And yep. Do it to it, right?
Yep. Ross? Get to know the local florists. They can create you some unique flowers, give you some suggestions that you may not be able to get, you know, wherever else they may have flowers. I think the ones that bring them in just for Valentine's Day, you know, you're not, sometimes you get what you pay for. So supporting local is always a good option if you can do it.
Yeah. And guys, don't skimp. Don't be a cheapskate and go for the stuff that's on sale. Your sweetie can always tell.
You want it to last through the weekend. Don't. She doesn't want to have to replace it on Sunday. So,
that's right. All right, folks. Be sure to tune into the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. You got to have that. Download that now on your smartphone, your smartwatch. Ross has got his watch up. And your tablet and anywhere else that you can download an app to is a great resource. And we're all in there. So check that out. Also, be sure to check out the History of Produce series with John Papp and the Global Fresh series with Juanita Gallo. It's all right here on the Produce Industry Network. And be sure to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at DanTheProduceMan.com.
And look for me, Ross the Produce Boss, on LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube. I'm on there, Ross the Produce Boss. Hey, Dan, stay fresh, keep growing, and let produce lead the way.
Absolutely. All right, folks, thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man and Ross the Produce Boss. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify for fresh weekly episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Network and at Dan the Produce Man and at Ross the Produce Boss. Until next time, we'll see you in the fields or on the horizon.